welcome to another edition of Club Kingsnake Web Radio. Today we have a really special guest with us. We've got Les Claypool. Les has been involved with bands such as Primus, Oysterhead. Oh gosh, Les, how many bands have you had?
I really don't know, to tell you the truth. I'd have to get my fingers and toes out.
Right now you're touring with your fancy band, correct?
That's what the fans have dubbed it, the fancy band.
You guys did a DVD of the tour from last year that you just launched.
Yeah.
Are they connecting with, oh, I was at that show?
You know, I haven't heard yet any of that type of response, but I know that, you know, we're selling quite a few of them at the merch booth. So I don't know what the sales have been in general, but they seem to be flying like hotcakes.
Tonight you're playing in Indianapolis, correct?
I am.
You don't end this tour until it looks like mid-July, right?
Yeah.
But you've been playing all year, it seems. I missed both of your shows at South by Southwest. I'm really disappointed about that. The surprise show you did with Slash and Tom. And
so that was just Tom inviting me down and me playing one song at the very end.
Okay.
I just knew Tom and Perry. You know, I don't really know anybody else from that bunch.
But you had your own set at South by as well.
Well, Electric Apricot had a set.
And that's more of a jam band, is it not?
Well, Electric Apricot, Quest for Festeroo, is a film that we made a couple summers ago, a feature-length film that just got picked up by National Lampoon and will be released this fall. And it's the story of a fictitious jam band from Northern California that's on the verge of catching a couple of big breaks. I play the character of Lapland's lapdog Miklovic, who is the drummer of the band.
This is kind of in the same tradition of Spinal Tap, I guess, correct?
For lack of a better term, yes, because I knew we were going to get the comparisons. We actually watched Spinal Tap halfway through the production of this thing just to see if we were stepping on any toes. And, you know, this film is much, much less overt than Spinal Tap. It's much more like a Ricky Gervais piece, you know, like The Office, like BBC's version of The Office. Very dry. In fact, people have watched it and thought it was real, so.
You do cartoons on your set list, don't you?
Yeah, it keeps me off the streets. Yeah, it's just something I've been doing for, God, I don't even know how long, for many, many years. I will have some sort of anecdote which usually pertains to something that went on that day or is going on in our lives, and it's usually I'm taking the piss out of somebody in the band, so.
You've been very involved and active in the internet in terms of putting your music and your products out there, as it were, for lack of a better term. Do you actually do a lot of hands-on stuff with the internet, or do you have people that do most of that stuff for you?
Well, I go to Craigslist quite a bit. That's my big internet swim per day. I don't get involved with the internet stuff. You know, we used to have a design company, Pronsong Designs, way back, and we were building websites for people when they didn't even know what the hell a website was. So in the early days, yes, I was very involved in that stuff, but I have people that do it. I don't keep up on all that stuff. It's too much. I got too much stuff to do.
You do. You're an author, too. You had a book that you launched last year, South of the Pump House.
Yes, a novel.
It's been compared to Hunter Thompson. I'm a big Hunter Thompson fan.
That's a fine man to be compared to.
I think so. Most bass guitarists are just bass guitarists, but you play your bass like a lead guitarist. Why did you choose the bass guitar?
Well, I don't necessarily play it like a lead guitar. I've heard that before, and I appreciate the compliment. But, you know, a lead guitarist is a soloist. You know, I bust a solo every now and again, but for the most part, I am the foundation of the band. I'm the guy holding the rhythm in place, and that to me has always been my position and what I emphasize the most when I'm playing. I think, to be more accurate, I tend to play the bass like the bass holding down the root as well as playing like a rhythm guitar part. I tend to play point and counterpoint, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do throw in a little solo every now and again.
You do.
But, you know, to me, what has defined these instruments so much over the years, you know, whether it's orchestral instruments or, you know, bass in a band or what the position of a drummer is or whatever, is purely by tradition, you know. I mean, obviously you see players that gravitate towards a certain instrument. I mean, who the hell ever thought a turntable was going to be a lead instrument or an instrument, period? And yet somebody took it and went, hey, I can make some sounds with this thing. And that's kind of what I've done with the bass. It just happens to be the pencil that I picked up. If I had picked up guitar, I probably would have played very similar things, just it would have been an octave higher. I mean, look at Kurt Joseph with his sousaphone. I mean, that guy, talk about redefining an instrument.
Let's talk about what you play. You play songs that are always on the edge musically. They're always pushing an envelope. They're always different. Nobody sounds like a Les Claypool or a Primus. Nobody has that sound. It's distinctive, and it's definitely you.
Well, that could be good for the world.
It could be. It could be. You've gotten your sound from a lot of different influences. You play a lot of other people's music, or you have in the past. Who are some of the people that you listened to when you were growing up that you really liked and you really liked to play their music?
It's really not true. I haven't played a lot of other people's music. I was growing up as a bass player when I was 15 or 16. I didn't have an amp, so I would sit there in front of the TV and just kind of noodle away while my siblings were trying to watch television, and they'd hear this clickety, 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 and I'm sure it drove them insane. So I really never knew what the hell I was playing until I went to rehearsal, and I got to plug into the amp that happened to be the guitar player's amp, and I would play his songs, because he wrote songs. We didn't play any. The only cover we played was Jumping Jack Flash. So I was never really one of those guys that sat down and learned other people's music. I've done more of that when I did the Frog Brigade. You know, obviously we did Animals in its entirety and whatnot. And there was a time in my late teens, early 20s, where I played with this old rhythm and blues band, where I was the youngest guy in the band by 10 years at least. And we played a lot of Meters and Booker T and the MGs and James Brown and Wilson Pickett and all these old tunes. But I never really sat down with the records as much as I came into rehearsal, and these guys played these songs for me, a lot of which I had only heard peripherally as a kid on the radio, or, you know, Meter stuff. I never had no idea who that was. And here I was playing these songs just from playing with the band. And then years later, when I stumbled across the Meters, stumbled across their actual recordings, I went, hey, wow, I used to play these songs, you know. So I don't have that many. I mean, I don't collect them, but I do have, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10. But some of them are just things that are sitting around doing nothing that I've sort of accumulated. But I've never been gone out and like, oh, I need one of these, and I need one of those, and I got to collect this. I mean, Larry Lalonde had like 50 guitars at one point or something. So, I don't have as many as you would think I would have. Well, and there's the one I've been using since I was in high school, my old Carl Thompson. I always go back to it, battered and torn, and the headstock's been busted off of it and glued back on, and it's an old Soldier, and that's the one I tend to go back to. That's my main instrument. So.
Do you prefer performing live or recording, or does it really matter to you?
When you're out on the road for a while, you're ready to come home and they go in the studio, and if you're in the studio for a while, you're ready to get the hell out of the studio and go do something else. So that's probably why I do so many different things besides playing bass, is if I get to a point where it's becoming tedious or I'm losing my interest in it, I don't want to force it, so I'll go off and do something else. That's a fine luxury to have. I like to balance things in my life, everything, so that whatever I'm doing at the time seems exciting.
Is there anybody out there that you'd still like to play with that you haven't had an opportunity to play with?
There's a lot of people I'd like to play with. Off the top of my head, I mean, I'd love to do some acoustic accompaniment with some folks. I once mentioned to a friend who's a friend of Neil Young's. I mean, I've hung out with Neil Young a couple times, but I'd love to do a duo thing with him where I just play upright bass and let him do his thing. I mean, obviously I get to do that with Tom Waits every now and again. You know, someone like him would be great. I got a bass banjo. It'd be great to do a little thing with someone like Merle Haggard or Willie Nelson. That'd be incredible, you know. That would be fantasy things for me to do.
You seem to show up in Austin quite frequently, either when you're on tour or just popping in for South by Southwest. Have you spent any time down here outside of playing?
Not really. Larry and I, back in the day, we used to rent a car every time we'd come through Texas, whether it was Austin or Dallas or Houston. We'd rent a car and go hit all the pawn shops, and because you guys have a shitload of pawn shops down there. But I haven't done that in a while.
Do you get to go fishing very often anymore?
Not on the road. I don't even try on the road. Once in a while, I might go fly fishing in Colorado or something, but when I'm on the road, I don't. But when I'm home, I do, yes.
I've looked at your road schedule when you came through last time, and you guys had everything down to the minute. That takes some pretty good coordination, I'd imagine.
Yes, and I have crack team of folk that deal with those sort of things.
I would imagine so. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I guess I will see you here in Austin here not too long from now.
Fantastic.